All right, turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to be taking most of our thoughts out of 1 John chapter 1 tonight. So you can turn there and you'll be able to keep it open to there for quite some time. And I'm going to read the whole chapter at this time. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If you are like me, you enjoy the words of John. John had a beautiful way of expressing his feelings toward Christ. And read the Gospel of John, read the books of 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, and it's similar. John had a deep relationship with Christ, and it came out in his writings. Other places talk about John as being the disciple that Jesus loved. And it seems that Jesus and John had an especially close connection. And I think that was reflected in his writings. So we're going to look throughout this chapter at the perspective that John had of Jesus as sort of an introduction and a point to introduce what I want to talk about later on. So John tells us a lot about his perspective of Christ throughout this chapter. Right in the first phrase, that which was from the beginning. So what did John say when he talked about that which was from the beginning? Well, obviously John knew that Jesus was eternal. John knew that I believe Jesus had created the earth along with his Father. I think that whole thought points back to something else that John knew, and that's that Jesus was divine. I think John knew that divinity is the only, nothing other than divinity has been from the beginning. So John understood that. Then he says, which we have heard. John was familiar with God's words. He had spent probably at least 3 years closely with Jesus Christ. I'm not sure if he knew him before that or not, but John was around Christ, and he was able to hear his words, and I believe be blessed by them. Which we have seen with our eyes. John saw Jesus Christ, and then he goes a little deeper, which we have looked upon. So John had looked upon Jesus. There's lots of things that we notice, and when we're driving to church here, we notice Anna Mays, and we see there's Anna Mays, and they did some renovations. That's Anna Mays, but I can't say that I know a whole lot about Anna Mays. Well, John, he saw Jesus, But he took it to the next level. He looked upon him. Maybe it's your little puppy, your favorite dog. Maybe it's, you know, something more important to you. Maybe it's your girlfriend or your boyfriend, or maybe it's your wife. I think you know what I mean. John looked upon Jesus, you know, with admiration and just learned from Jesus as he looked upon him, as I believe he's talking about here. First he saw him, then he looked upon him, and was just filled with everything that he saw. And then he goes on to say, and our hands have handled. John lived with Jesus. He ate at the same table. Maybe Jesus made the bread and John ate it. Maybe they worked together to boil water, to do dishes, and maybe they washed dishes together. They rubbed shoulders. They lived together. John's hands handled. John was around Jesus. He knew him very well physically. So what do all those things tell us about Jesus and about John's understanding of Jesus? Well, I think they tell us that John knew that he was human. Obviously, he was human. He lived there. He was there. He was around them. So John, first of all, knew that Jesus was divine. He also knew and experienced that Jesus was human. And I'm not sure if John understood I'm sure he didn't fully understand how Jesus could be both, but I'm sure he thought about it. He certainly saw both in action in a way that we haven't. And then the last phrase of verse 1 talks about the word of life. And a casual reader, one that first picks up the Bible, would probably read that phrase and not recognize Jesus in there. But when you think of the rest of John's writings, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. John knew what he was talking about here. Again, he was referring to Jesus being God, the Word of life. And a simple verse that I thought of that talks about John knowing that Jesus is the source of life is John 14, verse 6, and where Jesus said, excuse me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. John was close enough to Christ to see and experience his character. John just had a close physical relationship with Christ, and I believe it was deeper than a physical relationship. But John knew what he was talking about. And as we read these words, it's not from someone that just saw Christ. It's from someone that experienced Christ and lived with Christ and just knew him, saw his perfection, saw his holiness every day. Another thing that I think we can conclude, if we look over this passage, that John knew about Christ is that God wants to fellowship with us. John and Jesus had close fellowship. They enjoyed each other's company, as we refer to, and as we know from other passages in the scripture, John and Christ enjoyed each other's company. And I think we can conclude from that God wants to fellowship with all of us. God wants a relationship. John was special, maybe, but yet God wants to fellowship with all of us, and I think John knew that. The other thing we can see looking through here is that John realized that God was holy. It talks about God forgiving our sins. Well, why would God forgive why would God, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here. It talks about God being light, and in him is no darkness at all. God was perfectly holy and perfectly full of light. If we think of light and compare it with darkness, there's a big difference. And we're going to talk about walking in the light in a bit. But John recognized that God is light. He recognized that God is holy. And if we look at the last few verses, and a few other ones too, actually a number of them, I think John recognized that Jesus was also the Savior. If we confess our sins, he will forgive them, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think John had a very interesting view of God. And what I should say is that we're focusing on this chapter tonight. There's lots of things that John said and did, and maybe to complete the theology on some of the things we need to talk about, we need to go to other chapters. But we're looking at this chapter tonight. So just keep that in mind. So a proper view of God, just a little recap. John realized that Jesus was eternal and that he was divine. He realized he was familiar with God's words. He gazed long enough and often enough at Christ that he was enraptured. I think you know what I mean there. He touched, handled, and just lived with Christ and understood that Christ was human. He understood that God was life. God and life are, you know, they just fit together. They go together. God and death, you know, are not compatible at all. John was close enough to Christ to see and experience his character. He realized that God wants to fellowship with us. He realized that God is holy and that Jesus is our Savior and our Redeemer. The next thing that I'd like to take from this chapter is the thought of fellowship. The thought of fellowship is not new to any one of us, and it'd be interesting to have a discussion on what you think fellowship is. The Greek word for fellowship, or one of the Greek words used and sometimes translated as fellowship, is koinonia. I think you've probably all heard of a church called Koinonia. And it means fellowship. And so what does that mean? Well, first of all, it can be friendship. We have fellowship with each other over a cup of coffee. We might be discussing tractors, or we might be discussing the work of the church, or we might just things that are of common interest to us. Fellowship can be friendship. Fellowship is also a group with similar interests. We can all be interested in baseball. We can all be interested in woodworking. We can all be interested in building church together. Any of those things are our fellowship. Another interesting thought that I had never thought of quite in this way that goes along with the word fellowship is participation. And that is actually part of the meaning of fellowship. Participation. It also has the idea of joint participation. So obviously we're thinking of fellowship with God. We're thinking of fellowship with each other. And so weave the thought of participation into that. So we actually do something. We don't just sit on our lazy boy and have fellowship with God. You know, there's something flowing each direction. There's something for me to do. And similarly with our relationship in our local fellowship, there's participation. I can't have fellowship with you if I'm just sitting on my lazy boy and closed to any communication or have no desire to be with you. I won't have fellowship with my brothers and sisters. It takes participation. It takes showing up, being together, talking, involving yourself, and working together for a common cause. Another thought of fellowship is that there's no reservation. We can communicate with each other, and we can just maybe hold some things back that not everybody needs to know that I got a speeding ticket on the way to church, which I didn't, but or lots of other things about me that, you know, not everyone needs to know. However, in true fellowship, there's nothing held back. Maybe I don't tell you everything about myself, but I don't hold anything back from you that I should tell you. And similarly with God, it's a complete unreserved relationship where I give myself completely to God, and then God in turn fellowships with me, and we can actually work together. So how do we fellowship with the Father and with His Son? Well, I think the first thing, it's based on the last few verses about our sins being forgiven. And then the part about walking in the light. So think about walking in the light. How do I walk in the light? What does it mean to walk in the light? And also think about God being light. It talks about walking in the light as He is in the light. Well, sometimes we can understand things better if we look at the opposite. The Bible says men love darkness because their deeds are evil. So obviously, if we're walking in the light, we're not doing evil things. We're doing good things. We have an open life. You know, you sometimes if it's dark, you can be sneaky. You can hide things. Well, if we walk in the light, that doesn't work. We're in the light. Everybody can see what we're doing, what we're not doing. And that's part of walking, excuse me, that's part of walking in the light. Another thing about light, and this definitely relates to God, and I believe it can also relate to us, but what does light do in the in the natural sense? Excuse me. Could one of my sons get me a drink of water, please? This is drying me up more than I thought it would. What does light do in a natural sense to a plant? Well, light makes something grow. There's all kinds of energy in light. And I thought about that with God, and I think that's like God too. God, with God being light, he can energize us. And then if we take it a little further, if we walk in the light, is it fair to say that we can energize others? And I think we can. I think us walking in the light can give another person courage to also walk in the light, or to choose make right choices. Another part of walking in the light is just being pure and clean. Walking in the light just means to me that everything is open, everything is clean, there's just nothing hidden, there's no darkness, no sin, nothing at all that would defile us. Walking in the light also has to do with truth and honesty, I believe. And whether that's God, whether that's us, we know that when we're speaking of God, there's nothing at all that is untrue about God. God is perfectly true, perfectly honest, and God actually cannot lie. God cannot deceive. God is just 100% pure, true, and honest. And He desires that of us too, that we would be the same. So we can have fellowship with God and with His Son if we walk in the light. And back to the thought of a group with common interests, We can have fellowship with God if we have something in common with him. Do you have anything in common with God? Is there anything that God cares about that you care about? I hope there is. And that's actually, it's on that basis that we can actually have good fellowship. We don't talk to God about, it's not just casual conversation that, you know, it's a nice day today, but we talk to God about things that he cares about and that we care about because we're walking with him. We can share to a degree the feelings, the views, the aims, and the joys which God has. And isn't that an interesting thought? We think about God as being so big and so powerful, but we can actually help God with his work. We care about what God wants to do. We care about what God is doing. We care about how he's working in the hearts of those we love and the hearts of those that we don't know. We care about how God, we feel like God does about the refugees and about marginalized groups of people. We hurt when we see people suffering because they don't have enough food. And all of these things, we can actually work with God to help with his cause. And there's a few verses about that are familiar verses. 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are laborers together with God. And 2 Corinthians 6:1 talks about us, we then as workers together with God. And there's other verses as well that just refer to that very unique relationship with somebody tiny like me, tiny and insignificant, and that needs so much help myself, actually working with God and helping him do what he wants to do. That is fellowship. So then there's several places in here as well that talks about having fellowship one with another. And I think some of the things we talked about with having fellowship with God actually relate to having fellowship with each other. We have common interests. We have the same goals. We are trying to do some of the same things, and we care about the same problems, and we're trying to resolve them. Of course, all of this, we can't have fellowship with each other if we're not walking in the light either. It's all connected. Why? We understand fellowship with God. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. But why does it matter if we have fellowship with each other? None of you are my Savior. Really, isn't it God that's most important? Well, I think one reason to have fellowship with each other is that we can we're working together, and actually we can be encouraged. Sometimes the work is hard, and fellowship and actually working with another group of people energizes us. It encourages us, and it spurs us on to a deeper relationship. Malachi 3:16 says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often together." Something like that. I'm not going to turn to it. But you know the verse. You know, when the times get tough, the people of God should actually cling to each other, because that gives us energy, it gives us strength to go on. Fellowship with each other gets more done. There's no question. A group of people is much more productive than a single soldier. There's no question at all about that. Fellowship with each other also brings joy. The title for this little message is "That Your Joy May Be Full." And I was blessed thinking about that. God has given us all of these things because God longs for us to be filled with joy. Verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Is your joy full tonight? I hope so. I hope that you are just filled with joy. I think we understand joy. We understand, you know, joy is not when something is funny. That's not necessarily joy. Joy is, it's something that's satisfying. This first song we sang tonight actually sort of said this very well. It said, fade, fade, each earthly joy. So the things in life that make us happy, well, that joy is not lasting. You know, you pick it, a good meal, just a good time with our friends, or that type of thing is great. It's great, but it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't bring us lasting satisfaction. Whereas joy from God gives us satisfaction that we can only dream about, really. It gives us a satisfaction that's not of this world. And if we can get rid of those earthly joys, I think that song said something about being satisfied because Jesus is mine. Well, that's real joy. When we can experience Christ, it's a satisfying, lasting relationship that brings us such full joy. And I like the thought of God desiring that we are filled with joy. As a father, I can relate to that somewhat. I sometimes do things for my family, and I watch them to see if that's making them happy. You know, it can be little things, it can be bigger things, and we're disappointed if we put forth an effort and it doesn't do anything, and it doesn't, you know, they're like, mm. But when they respond with, you can tell they're happy and they're pleased, well, that makes me happy. So God is there desiring that all of us be filled with joy. And God keeps giving us things. And all these things we've talked about, God gives us the privilege of fellowship so that we can be filled with joy. He forgives our sins so that we can be filled with joy. And I believe God is watching us to see how we respond to his gifts. If we're just accepting them and our joy is full, I believe that makes God happy as well. Being filled with joy is based on several things. There's several prerequisites that are found in this chapter. The first one I noted is it's based on our sins being forgiven. I think that's quite basic. It's based on us walking in the light. It's based on our fellowship with God. If we walk in the light and don't have fellowship with God, we probably won't walk in the light very long, but neither will we be filled with joy. Real joy comes from fellowship with God, along with walking in the light. Joy also comes with fellowship with each other. And I believe true joy, lasting joy, comes with fellowship with each other. So as I thought about that, I had a little revelation, I believe. It's quite basic, but let me share it with you. I hope you can all read that. We talked about fellowship with God. We also talked about fellowship with each other. And what came to me in a way that I hadn't thought of, I've known this for a long time, but it sort of stuck out to me as I read this, I should say, is the connection between fellowship with God and fellowship with each other. If you look at verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then it doesn't say you might have fellowship, or it doesn't say then you might have fellowship with each other, but it says if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And then it goes on to say, so the number one is we walk in the light as God is in the light. Number two, we have fellowship one with another. And then number three says, and then the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So I'm not saying that it's that is the order, that first we have fellowship with God, then we have fellowship with each other, and then our sins are forgiven. But it's very interesting to me how John wrote it here, how they're all connected. So if we were to X out, oh, I forgot something here.
If we were to X out this, what would happen to this? I think of this sort of as an electrical circuit or as any other connection. It's a triangle.
If one of the points are broken, if one of the lines are broken, I think that will seriously impair, if not completely stop, the current from flowing to any of the other lines. Is that true? I think it is. Maybe, I'm sure there's times when our relationship with God is maybe stronger and it should be, but really, that's what I took from this chapter, that all of this is connected. If I fellowship with God, if my fellowship with God is what it should be, then I will long to fellowship with all the rest of you. My sins will be forgiven, I will walk in the light, and at the end of the day, my joy will be full in a way that I could not experience for certain if any of those lines are broken. I think fellowship with each other is very, very important. And interestingly enough, another word, the word koinonia is sometimes translated as communion. I know we're talking about communion, and the communion that it's translated as, I don't believe is the Lord's Supper, but it's if two people have communion together, it's that same word comes from that. And I think, I just felt that verse 7 here really has a lot to say about communion, like communion as in the Lord's Supper. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, to do that, we have to recognize God's sacrifice. We have to recognize what God's done for us and how unworthy we are and how God has just blessed us in a way that we don't deserve. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. May God bless us as we work on having our joy full. May God bless us with good fellowship with each other so that our joy can be full and that our fellowship with God also can prosper. That's all I have. Thank you for your attention, and I'll turn back to Jonathan.